Good morning. It's always fun to come to church and be with you all, and it's fun to praise God with you. There is a concept in the world, a principle in the world, that at first glance strikes me as being a bad thing. But I want to show you how this is a good thing. I thought of it in these terms first when I read the story of Achan to my students. We were reading through Joshua, and we read about Achan and how he was stoned for sinning, and his whole family with him. His wife, his children, his cattle, all of them were killed together because of something he had done. And they started saying, wait, that's wrong. Why did these innocent people suffer for something this guy did? Why is that good or right, or how can that be right? How can that be a good thing? And then I started thinking more about something that I had come across when I would go into Bob Johnson's and teach a Sunday school class there. These young adults would hear me say things like, you are all sinners. We have all sinned. And the reason we come into this world with this inherent bent to sin is because Adam sinned. Why does something that somebody did way back there, 6,000 years ago, why does that affect us today? How can that affect us today? How can that be right? Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So, there it says it, and I would point this to them, but it was still hard to make sense of it. But I think it makes more sense if we start thinking about other ways. It becomes sort of, oh yeah, this is the way the world works, when we think of other ways that we are affected by other people's decisions or actions. How many of you remember flying before 9/11? Do you remember what flying was like then? Okay, good. And how many of you that remember flying before 9/11 know what flying is like now? Okay, it's very different, right? A couple of people flying airplanes into a building made a big difference on many people's lives. Actually, the changes would have started before that. Back in the 60s and 70s with the increase of terrorism and stuff like that, some of the changes would have started. But you can quickly see how people's actions do affect many, many people. Anytime you start looking at history and start looking at the wars that have happened, you will see how very innocent people are badly affected by people's decisions. Well, there are other ways. No, that's physical. That's something that happens to us physically. What about how we perceive ourselves? More emotional. Think of parents. I think all of us can think of people who come from abusive homes who come out of that with a very, very different outlook on life because of decisions their parents have made has very seriously affected them. If you've had a brother or sister, you have been affected by the way they treated you. I had an older brother and a younger sister, and I am sure that my younger sister learned to be a little more, I said I taught her self-defense, just by being a mischievous older brother, but I am sure that I have had an effect on her some way, probably, and I'm certain it's not all good. My older brother, just because he was older than me, automatically stirred up inside of me this drive to win at everything we did together. So I kind of developed this very competitive nature. Not anything that he necessarily did, is just because he was older than me. So people affect us. We are affected by other people. We are influenced by them. Their decisions, just their being there, does change something. There's a relational connection in the world. Peers are another thing. I see this all the time in school. If there are a few people who think alike, they can quickly influence the entire class to think like they do. Teachers are going to affect the way you view yourself. They're going to influence your perspective of yourself. Am I good at math? Well, when the teacher puts 100% on your paper, you're good at math, and so that makes you think differently about yourself. I think we can see that this is really something that does happen. We are, in some ways, affected by other people's decisions. It's not the story of Achan. That's pretty stark. His family died because of his sin. But when we start seeing how we do this ourselves to each other, it changes our perspective of this a little bit, and suddenly we realize we have some of the same power. This was brought home to me some more at the recent Hope Ministry seminar, when I'd hear stories of people who can very clearly remember events that happened 20, 30, sometimes 40 years ago. And I connected with the events that happened in school, but that not all of the events happened there, with how something their teacher did to them or their peers did to them, it stays there, and it still kind of hurts when they remember these kinds of things. It doesn't just go away. There is a very serious, we're holding a really serious power over other people just by being people. And it scares me. I stayed awake one night being wondering, man, in what ways have I damaged the students who've come through my classroom? That's terrifying. Well, I need to finish this Romans passage because it really sheds just a great deal of delight on this whole subject. I'm going to go to, if you notice when I read verse 12, it started out saying therefore, and it almost sounded like it was, the statement wasn't finished, and that's because it wasn't. There's a great big parenthesis from verse 13 down to verse 17. So I'm going to start reading in Romans 5, I'm going to read 18 and 19. And this is the exciting part of this whole concept. Therefore, just as the, I'm going to be reading in the New King James, so it'll be slightly different than the King James Version. I actually like the King James Version just slightly better, but I didn't have my King James Bible at home. So, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And that is just incredibly exciting. Now, I don't want you to get... what it almost looks like here, and it is true, one guy sinning, Adam, messed it up for everybody else. One guy being perfect changed that around, brought redemption to all of mankind. That's the way it is. I don't want us to get this idea that my righteous action can somehow give to somebody else redemption, okay? Jesus' righteous action can give to someone else redemption. But there is a concept that we have lots of power, and if we use it incorrectly, we use it wrongly, we can really damage people. But if we use it, if we give it to God and let him use it for good, just as much good can come out of it as bad can come out of it. It is a very potent, very powerful part of us. It's because God made us to need relationship. We really do need people. And we need most of all to have a relationship with God. Now, we are all accountable for our relationship to God. But we can make it easier for someone else. We can bring someone else closer to a relationship with God if we do what God tells us to, and if we truly love people. I want to look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. This one kind of caught me by surprise some years ago when I was reading about, or when I was thinking about how Jesus had died. He's gone to the grave, and I thought, well, why didn't Jesus just come, when he came back, why didn't he just show himself to a few people? Why not go out into the temple and start teaching again? Thousands of people watched him die. Thousands of people see him out in the temple. That should really change things. But instead, he goes to his core, the core group of people that knew him, and talked to them, showed himself to them, convinced them, and then he went to heaven and said, now you, there's a very human element to this spreading the gospel, you go out and teach all nations. You have this power to transform lives by taking my story. So verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That is exciting. We have this power, and we can take it out, and we can tell people about Jesus Christ, and because of being human and having a relationship with people, it can really change the bad that has come into the world through relationships. I want to make this a little bit more personal. I want to think about how it affects us as a church. Because I think this is where relationships should be as close as anything, is in the Church of Christ. And the closer you get to a person, the more power, the stronger these relational ties are. And so there is more power for both good and bad. And I think we have seen examples of both kinds of power used. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. The reason this is so cool is because it's giving us a glimpse of how the church ought to work. And it starts off with the word therefore, and that's referring back to Jesus Christ's death being the perfect sacrifice and bringing perfect sanctification to us. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way through which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the day of Jesus' return, the more we ought to band together to stir up in each other this love and good works. Not to use it to tear each other apart, but to excite love for Jesus Christ. And that is so extremely exciting. So when I think about teaching, I'm thinking, well, what if I'm doing bad things to my students? If I remember that my heart is what matters, if I love the Lord and I'm pursuing my relationship with God, and letting him pursue me, then when I exert relational influence on someone, that's going to be positive. Sure, my humanity may cause some pain. I'm certain of that. I'm going to mess up. But over and all, I think this power will be used for good. And I think the same thing holds true in church. If we're really seeking God, the closer we get to our brothers and sisters, the more good can come out of our relationships. Let's pray. God, we love you. We especially love the way you made us to be in relationships, to have people around us to relate to. But most importantly, you made us so that we could have a relationship with you, that we could be your sons and daughters, and you'd be our Father. We bless you for that, Lord. And we look forward to worshiping the rest of the morning with our brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay.